There are several comparisons between Jonah and Jesus in this book that we will be going over. Jonah was a prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel during the reign of King Jeroboam II of Israel, around 783 to 743 BC, roughly 50 years after Jonah. In 722 BC, Assyria will take Israel into captivity. The writer is unknown, but some suspect that Jonah wrote it. The book of Jonah is unique from the other books of the prophets, where we see what God says, through them. This book focuses more on the story of Jonah than what he's preaching. Now let's read the first three verses of Jonah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Jonah's father, Amittai, is also spoken of in 2 Kings 14. Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet of Gath-Hepher, which is just north of Joppa. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah, telling him to go to Nineveh and preach against them, because they are wicked. Instead, Jonah runs away and goes to Joppa, a port city, which is now called Jaffa, and is just outside Tel Aviv, Israel. There he got on a boat heading to Tarshish, and which most commentators think was in Spain. The point is that it is over 3,000 miles in the opposite direction from where God told him to go preach. Now let's continue in verse 4 to the end of the chapter. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us who is responsible for making all this trouble for us. What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. Jonah is fleeing from God because Jonah is fearful to preach to a foreign nation, and he doesn't want them to be forgiven, and he knows that if he goes and tells them to repent of their sins, that God will forgive them. So God sent a very violent storm, and the sailors were all afraid, throwing cargo overboard to lighten the ship. While all this is happening, Jonah is in the lower deck sleeping. The captain wakes him up, tells him to pray to his God so that they might be noticed and won't die. They cast lots to see who is responsible for this, and it landed on Jonah. So they ask him, "Who is responsible for this trouble? What work do you do? From what country are you? Who are your people?" And he says that he worships the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. This terrified them because of what the sea is doing to them. This story is similar yet different from Jesus when Jonah basically answers them saying, "If I die, you will be saved." But the people did not want to hurt him, and they tried to save him by rowing back towards the land. But the wind grew wilder, so they pleaded to the Lord, "Don't let us die for taking this man's life. Don't hold us accountable for killing an innocent man." Jesus, on the other hand, willingly gave himself up to die so that we can be saved because he loves us. John 11:10 says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." With the case of Jesus, the people wanted to kill him, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him, a sinless man." Matthew 27:24-25 says, "When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. 'I am innocent of this man's blood,' he said. 'It is your responsibility.' All the people answered, 'His blood is on us and our children.'" Another comparison is found in Luke 11:30, which says, "As Jonah was assigned to the Ninevites, so also will the Son of Man be to this generation," correlating with how Jonah preached through the word of God to save the Ninevites, and how Jesus would also preach to his generation, and even to future generations throughout the word. A third comparison is found in Matthew 12:40. "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights of the heart of the earth." Jonah was thrown into the sea to save the people on the boat, and he was inside the fish, as good as dead, for 3 days and 3 nights, and then restored. Jesus also saved everybody by willingly dying and was in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights before he was resurrected. Now let's move on to chapter 2, and let's read the whole chapter. "From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, 'In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All my waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountain I sank down. The earth beneath bared me in forever, but you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remember you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed. I will make good salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. In chapters 1 and 2, everything is going down for Jonah. It says he went down to Joppa, but Jonah had gone below the deck where he lay down. They took Jonah and threw him overboard. "From deep in the realm of the dead, you hurled me into the depths. Deep surrounded me. I sank down. The earth beneath bared me in forever." But after repenting through prayer, things started looking up. "But the Lord my God brought my life up from the pit. My prayer rose to you. Get up and call on your God." And the fish vomited him up onto the dry land. Now let's read chapter 3. "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decrees of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows, God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish." When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. This chapter just shows us how compassionate and forgiving God is in giving Jonah a second chance to preach to the Ninevites. This time, Jonah goes to Nineveh, a very large city, and we find out in chapter 4:11 that the city had upward of 120,000 people, so it took him a whole 3 days just to get through the city. God saw how seriously the Ninevites took Jonah's warnings, and so he had compassion and forgave them instead of destroying them as he had threatened to do. God responds in mercies to man's repentance, like he did here to the Ninevites, by canceling threat and punishments. Read this in Jeremiah 18:7-10, which says, "If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it." Now let's read Jonah chapter 4. "But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, 'O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live.' But the Lord replied, 'Have you any right to be angry?' Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head, to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which shewed the vine so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, 'It would be better for me to die than to live.' But God said to Jonah, 'Do you have a right to be angry about the vine?' 'I do,' he said, 'and I am so angry, I am angry enough to die.' But the Lord said, 'You have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell the right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city?'" Jonah here is going back down into the pit, angry with God because he forgave the Ninevites. Jonah is being selfish. He was sent to Nineveh to warn them to repent, and when they declare a fast and do exactly what Jonah told them to do, God forgives them. Jonah becomes angry and wishes he would die because he doesn't think it is right to forgive the Ninevites for the things they did. He wanted to see them be destroyed. He doesn't understand the compassion of God. God makes an object lesson with the vine, showing Jonah how that he was prioritizing a plant that provided shade over the 120,000 people who didn't know their right hand from their left in Nineveh. Both the vine and the people were God's creation, and God is telling us that God is telling Jonah that salvation of people who are made in God's image are more important. Instead of hating and getting revenge on our enemies, we need to be compassionate and forgiving like how our Father in heaven is. We shouldn't prioritize our everyday things like our cars, houses, cell phones, etc., or our vines in our lives, over helping others with their sins and forgiving them in our hearts. There are many messages in the book of Jonah. Like, we can't run away from God. God will forgive anyone willing to repent. Prayer can lift us up out of dark places. We should be forgiving like our Father forgives. Also a prophecy of Jesus' crucifixion and burial. But if there's anything that you can take away from the story of Jonah, it would be that no matter how deep you may be in your sins, you can still be forgiven. Prayer and repentance are the ladders that will help you climb out of your pit you may be in. God is a forgiving God and will forgive anybody who repents for what they have done.